Hi, welcome back to this next episode of Showing Up. I'm Yao Ling and I run Forum Policy Design. Showing Up is about uncovering what it takes to get to where you want to go and learning across the different fields of design, business, tech, and the arts. We will share stories and journeys of founders and entrepreneurs. Hopefully, we can help instill learnings, spark inspiration, and celebrate the human endeavor and spirit. Today, Olivia Lee, the acclaimed product designer, will be joining us on set.
Welcome to Showing Up.
We are particularly interested in how your journey has been as a solo designer, right? So why don't you give a short introduction of yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Olivia Lee. I run an industrial design studio based in Singapore, but really it's a multidisciplinary practice. And, you know, I've done everything from furniture design to product design to installations and scenography for brands like Hermes. What I'm really passionate about is bringing a sense of wonder to design.
Thank you. I'll just kickstart with a first question for you. Since you are creative, right? So I'm particularly interested in how do you articulate your vision?
I think for me, I think in stories. And I find stories are the most relatable way that I know how to depict a vision. And I feel that it's a really great and direct way of bringing someone on a journey to get to where I want them to see.
Can you give us an example? Like, how do you think of it in stories? What's an example?
Well, one really good example is would be a exhibition that I did for Hermes Petit Arche. And the project was to sort of take over the Singapore flagship of Hermes and transform it into a space for their sister brand called Petit Arche. And when I was reflecting on the relationship between Petit Arche and Hermes, it struck me that an analogy or a metaphor was a really great way of explaining to them how I saw this relationship and how I wanted to celebrate it through an installation. So when I presented that concept, rather than, you know, the typical sort of concept sketches or mood boards, I drew a little illustrated story. So I started with like a children's illustration book kind of concept and took them through it. And I think it really, in lesser words, but through pictures, was able to paint something way more articulate than I could have done through a typical pitch deck.
What about like another example through industrial design? Like, was there an industrial design that you told a concept through story?
Sure. That was a project that I did for Wallpaper Handmade. So this was a project where Wallpaper Magazine, they pair designers with craftsmen from all around the world. And I was paired with a Swiss company called Nature Squared. So they specialize in sustainable veneer materials. And I thought, okay, how do I turn this into something that goes beyond just a conversation about material? And the theme for that year was wonder and wellness. So I started thinking about the people who would be using products that are passionate about wonder and wellness. And from there, it kind of cascaded into like a series of characters, and then it cascaded into stories about them. And that's usually the way I try to wrap my designs or ideations around people and stories rather than like a function necessarily.
That sounds really interesting. Have you come across a situation whereby you told a good story but you weren't getting the response that you were looking for?
It's also kind of self-selecting. Like, in a way, a lot of the collaborators and clients that I end up working with sort of have a sense of what my practice is about, and in a way they come to me already knowing that I'm very upfront about the amount of romance and whimsy and emotion that I like to bring to my work. So I think they come with that, not say expectation, but they're prepared for it. So I think it's almost like maybe they might be a bit disappointed if there wasn't like an illustrated story that came together with my presentations.
That's interesting, because there has been instances in our experience where maybe they're used to a certain way of looking at things. Maybe they're very used to PowerPoint slides. Sure. And then if you tell something that is a little bit more illustrative or abstract.
Or analog.
Or analog. Yep. You can see it just going by
like,
outside.
What?
By.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in a way, I think, you know, Yaling, you mentioned that I'm a solo designer. So my practice is very small, which means that my capacity to take on projects every year is quite defined. And in a way, it means that I have to be quite selective about the projects that I take on. And I think in Singapore, I mean, there maybe was a time when I was very self-conscious of this, but I realized that I need to lean into this because in a way that's a great filter, right? Because then I will find the clients who would appreciate my style. And so now I front load that. So if it's really not their cup of tea, you know, we know that, you know, we're gonna go down different paths, and I think I rather just show my hand as early as possible so that I can very quickly get to a very kind of authentic and honest conversation with a potential client or collaborator.
So obviously you've been very successful, and there is a saying that if you really look closely, most overnight successes, close open inverted commas, took a long time. How would you respond to that?
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, there's that saying, I think luck is like preparation versus meets opportunity. And I think success is like preparation meets opportunity meets timing as well. And I think there's a lot to be said about it. It isn't just that 1,000 hours that you put in, it's also how sensitive you are to reading the winds, like, and recognizing opportunity, but also creating opportunity and seizing the right moment to do it. So I think when we say overnight success, I feel it kind of diminishes the efforts of the person in question, right? Because it feels like it's happened to them rather than they've somehow manifested it through their effort. So for sure, I don't believe there's really a thing as overnight success.
It's a reflection of like hours and hours of behind the scene work.
Yeah, and at times even ambition that has sprung forth since they were children, you know, so they're very focused from a very early stage, and it's that religious dedication to their craft that leads them to that tipping point where it seems to the rest of the world like an overnight success.
You mentioned about creating opportunity and seizing opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you create and seize opportunity? Do you have a point of view on that?
In a way, I think I believe in manifestation, where like you put things on a mood board, and somehow that, I think firstly the articulation of what you want and the deliberate action to sort of like put it out there in the universe has a lot more impact than one realizes. And I don't believe it's all like woolly kind of hippie thinking. Like, and I really think it's about the kind of energy and messages that you send out. You can take that in a very kind of spiritual way, or you can even take that in a very business way. So when I'm talking to people, I'm just very clear about what I'd love to do, you know, what my studio is about, and perhaps that leaves a seed, it incepts a seed in them that maybe they don't have an opportunity for me, but they might meet someone in conversation and say, hey, I just met someone, like this designer who's really passionate about something. So I think opportunity in a way is also something that it's in your ability to create for yourself.
So I have one more for you. Every problem is a gift. Mm-hmm. Without problems, we will not grow. What do you think of this?
For sure, I agree. I think that that on the other side of your comfort zone is where growth is. So you need boundaries and perimeters. Like, I think if you ask any designer, we really thrive on tight constraints and perimeters, because I think that's where a lot of the innovation comes from, is when you need to like overcome, you need to circumvent, you need to be resourceful. And you know, if everything was easy, you would just take the expected or known path. When things are difficult, you're forced to think of alternatives. And I think it's in those sort of like tension, moments of tension and moments of challenge that you create something new.
What would you give a designer, you know, if you have a golden line to share?
Okay.
what would you, what would it be?
A golden, like a piece of advice.
Yeah. To be a successful creative entrepreneur.
There's no perfect time to start. So you'll never be perfectly ready, and that's the good news. So you just need to go out there and do your thing and lean into your weirdness. That's a lot of golden lines. But okay, if I can do one golden line, I think I would say lean into your weirdness. I think it's what makes you special. And when it seems difficult to be different from everyone else, that's when you should lean into it even more.
Like embrace it.
Embrace it, yeah, correct.
Do you have a favorite quote that you work by?
There, I have a few. I think one of them, there are a few that are pinned up in the studio. And I think a big one for me is action equals reality. So action equals reality for me means that I think as creatives, sometimes it can be very easy to like live in your mind, like live in concepts and live in your visions, right? But the only way to make that a reality is to take an action. Like whether it is take a pencil and put it down on a piece of paper, or it is to pick up a phone and call someone, or it is to like write an email to someone that you would really want to work with, that's action. And when you start acting, that's when it becomes real. Otherwise, it's all in the mind.
Yeah, yeah, true. I also live by that.
What about another quote that's in the studio?
Now is all you have. So now is all you have is a reminder to be present. And I think as any creative or entrepreneur, I think sometimes the sort of slippery slope is to worry too much about the future, or it is to kind of dwell on the past, like what you could have done. And I think for really to really let your creative workflow, you kind of really need to be present. And I say that knowing that it's not an easy thing to do, especially if all kinds of technology, like all kinds of like present day worries, it's very easy to kind of like lose focus. So that post-it is very deliberate reminder to like stay centered and stay in the present.
Like that very
yeah.
much.
I like that you have post-its.
Yes.
To remind yourself.
Yeah.
You should start doing that.
Yeah, it helps. Because I don't really have a colleague, so I need to dialogue with myself sometimes in the studio. Yeah.
What do you think your superpower is?
My superpower is my imagination. And I think it's something that I am very kind of like blessed to have had as a child and encouraged and nurtured by my parents. And I think that's why stories have been so important to me, because I grew up like reading storybooks, and my mom would like borrow like 36 through a tape, borrow 4 library cards and max out the loan amount. And that's, you know, I would just look at picture books as a child. And I think imagination is very powerful, because like in your most like challenging situations, you're able to imagine something different or other. And if you're bored or you're stuck in a country and can't travel, your imagination is very powerful, because you can travel in other ways.
What have you been imagining?
Yeah, like just new worlds to visit.
Wow, that was very good.
Yeah, I like that.
Very tight response and very thought out. That was very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Do you have any thoughts that you like to potentially share with the audience, or any reflection about
maybe
this?
Maybe like last
closing
thoughts.
Yeah,
something for them to, you know, take away.
I think that when I first started out and established a practice, I think it was the most terrifying and exhilarating thing that I ever did. And I realized very early on that actually this is it's an almost personal journey. First, like knowing yourself and who you are outside of defined roles or like an organization. So I left a huge organization to start out on my own. And so what is my identity with respect to my practice or, my occupation? And after a while, I realized there are no rules. And, you know, instead of worrying about whether I fit a certain template of what a solo designer should be or what a design practice should be or what should my slides look like, what does a professional studio's like presentation look like? I mean, I just decided, you know, that there's freedom in doing things different, which is you get to write the script yourself. And I think that that's a message that I would leave to a lot of, you know, people who are self-starters, who want to do something on their own. It's really your uniqueness that if you are brave enough to embrace, and if you stick with your guns, it kind of will create this like niche around you, and you can grow that and nurture that into something.
Thanks for that. That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very awesome. Thoughtful. Thank you so much for showing up today.
Yes, yeah, thanks for showing up.
I'm happy to show up.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram @ForeignPolicyDesign.